Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your blessing and your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps our infirmities. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you for a great time in your presence. Open our eyes, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering and you may take your seats, please. Amen. Now, today I want to begin with our memory verse. Amen. I want to begin with the memory verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Now, this is a very important verse that every Christian must know. Amen. Every Christian must know and believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then every Christian must know and believe in speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. It is the language of the Spirit. And it is the language of the Spirit because it is the Spirit that gives utterance. It is the Holy. See, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in them began to inspire their speaking. Wow. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And that is a very important truth that we all must grasp. Amen. That speaking with other tongues is not a mind thing. It's not something you do. It's not something you copy. It's not something you learn. Hallelujah. But you speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. It's a spiritual thing. That is why it has spiritual results, and that's why it has a spiritual impact on our lives. Amen. Amen. That is why speaking in tongues ushers you into the spiritual realm. The Bible says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God. He speaketh not to men. Hallelujah. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're not talking to men. Amen. You're not talking to men. Some people criticize the speaking in tongues, and they say that how can you speak a language you don't understand? Well, I can speak any language you don't understand if I'm not talking to you. Does it make sense? Yeah, I can speak any language you don't understand. You don't have to understand it because I'm not talking to you. What is important is that the person I'm speaking to understands what I'm saying. And when you speak in an unknown tongue, the Bible says you are speaking not to men, but to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says in the Spirit, you speak mysteries to God. You speak mysteries in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mysteries means things that are not so easily understood. Wow. Isn't it? Yeah. So even if it was, even if we were to understand it as in a language, you know, you would not understand it as in meaning. Wow. You know that you don't understand every word in even a language that you speak fluently. Is it true? Have you heard English words you don't understand? Isn't it? Huh? A lot of words like that. But you do speak English. or you do claim to speak English. So for every language, there's a level and a depth of it that is beyond your comprehension, isn't it? Yeah, and that's the same thing. Even those who speak other like Ghanaian languages like Twi, I tell you, I was listening to a Twi preacher the other day. I couldn't understand anything he was saying, you see, because the words were so deep and heavy and strong. So I was asking, do you have to make it so deep? Hallelujah. So every language is like that. So even if we could understand it as a language, we would not understand it as a mystery. Hallelujah. So there's even no point understanding it. So you just have to do it by faith. We speak in tongues. We pray in faith. Amen. It's a faith language. It's a spiritual language. It ushers you into the realm of the spirit, and it's a very powerful way to communicate with God. Amen. So believe in speaking in tongues. Amen. And speak in tongues as often as you can. Speak in tongues for a long time. Pray mostly in tongues. Hallelujah. And it will accomplish great things in the realm of the spirit. Say amen. All right. So let's go back to the verse quickly and let's learn it for today. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all, let's read it together, 1, 2, 3, go. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One more time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 and verse 4. Amen. So let's start with Acts 2, 4. 1, 2, 3, go. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, 4. One more time. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, 4. Okay, so now take it off and let's try it without looking. 1, 2, 3, go. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, 4. One more time. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 and verse 4. Amen. Are you blessed by that verse? It's very powerful. Amen. All right. Now let's continue the service by going into the Word of God. Amen. Last week, I was sharing with you about why we must attend camp meetings. Do you remember? When we were talking about the special environment of a camp, isn't it? I think I gave you 5 reasons why a camp is a special environment. Number 1, it is because a camp has a timeless environment, isn't it? It is a timeless environment. Number 2, it is a tension-free environment. A camp is tension-free, isn't it? It's free of stress. And there are times in your relationship with God you need to be free of tension, isn't it? And number 3, a camp has an anxiety-free environment, isn't it? In a camp, there is also less anxiety, about the cares of this world, especially if you came to the camp with your kids and with your family. You can be there and be at peace, isn't it? You're not wondering where your kids are. You're not wondering, have they eaten? You're not wondering who's handling them, what's going on with them, etc. It's free of anxiety, and that is very helpful for relating with God. Hallelujah. Number 4 is a camp. What is number 4? A camp. Say the whole sentence. A camp has a patient environment. A camp has a patient environment. And then number five, a camp has a humble environment. Amen. A camp has a humble environment. And when we are humble, it is easier for God to relate with us, isn't it? God gives grace to the humble. So when we are humble, God comes nearer to us. Amen. And so our humility and in being in a humbling environment greatly promotes the cultivation of the presence of God. Amen. And that is a great blessing, and that helps us greatly. Hallelujah. Then we went on to talk about the 10 powerful effects of a camp, isn't it? Powerful effects of a camp. I think I started in the morning and I continued in the afternoon. Right. So number one, what is the number one effect? Camp meetings allow the word of God to be spoken with boldness, isn't it? Allows the word of God to be spoken with boldness. Number two, can you speak up, please? Number two, it allows extensively, isn't it? Which causes a great increase in the number of disciples. Amen. Number three, camp meetings allow important interaction between believers. It allows important interaction between believers. Amen. When you have camp meeting, we can relate. We can interact. Amen. And interaction among believers is positive. It is good. Amen. The Bible says all that believed were together and had all things common. Amen. So interaction with other believers is very important. If you're a Christian, you must value your interaction with believers above your interaction with unbelievers. Everybody's life is a combination of interaction with believers and interaction with unbelievers. Do you understand? Now, all manner of interaction with people leaves something on you. It affects you. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says, be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. It says, evil communication corrupts good manners. Do you understand? Association or interaction with evil, you know, it says evil communication. Communication means exchange, isn't it? It's not just being near someone. It is something goes from me to you and something comes from you to me. That's communication, which is that you beam a signal out and then somebody else receives it. Do you get it? So we have to be careful who we communicate with. Now, because we live in this world, we have to work, we have to go to school, we have to go shopping, and we have to relate with people, we cannot avoid certain types of interaction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Nevertheless, regardless of how important the interaction is, it is not excused from the negative effect it has on a person. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's say you have to interact with people that you work with. You spend a lot of time at work, 8 hours a day with unbelievers. Do you see? Now, that interaction is affecting you whether you like it or not. You see, and when interaction affects you, it doesn't seek your permission. Do you get it? It doesn't seek your permission to affect you. Interaction will affect you whether you like it or not. If you keep hearing good things and positive things, it will over time affect you. If you keep hearing negative things, it will over time affect you. It really will affect you. Some people underestimate the extent to which you are affected by who you're interacting with. That is why the Bible says, don't be deceived. Do you understand? It says, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. This interaction is hurting you. Hallelujah. Being among people who are always talking about girls, who are always talking about naughty things they did, who are always talking about which clubs they went to last night, who are always talking about who they slept with, who are always talking about negative things. You know, the Bible talks about Lot. The Bible says he was a righteous man, but he vexed his righteous soul. You see, he vexed his righteous soul just purely by the people he related with, the things he lived with and saw every day and heard every day. His righteous soul was just vexed and disturbed. Can I have an amen? You don't even have to understand vexed, but you just have to know that his righteous soul, something was happening to it. Something called vexed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And that something was not a good thing, because the Bible says that he had a righteous soul that was affected by the things he saw and heard every day. Amen. So interaction, because we are forced to interact with unbelievers, we need a commensurate interaction with believers to offset the effect of the negative interaction we have to deal with all the time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, because we have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to relate with people. We have to talk with people. We have to, you know, at least have a certain basic or minimal exchange with people. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't be an island in your school. You can't be an island at your workplace. You can't just surround yourself. Maybe you mark out your desk and then you surround yourself with Bibles and Dick's Bibles. And you can't do that. Hallelujah. So by all means, there will be some rivers flowing into you as long as you're relating with people. Do you understand? But you have to understand the effect of this river on you, which is that it will corrupt your good manners. It will corrupt. To corrupt is to destroy, is to cause to rot, to degrade the thing. Hallelujah. So your Christian life and everything good that God is doing for you, everything good that God is raising and building in you, is in danger of being corrupted by virtue of who you are relating with. Hallelujah. And so if we cannot get away from this kind of interaction, then we must follow the other verse which says, do not neglect the habit of meeting together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. That is God's antidote to the interaction we are forced and compelled to have, isn't it? Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, you know, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. This is different from having a personal time with the Lord. Here, what God is talking about is assembling ourselves together. That means organized meetings, organized religion, if you like. Amen. Some people teach against, or say, I've heard some Christians say that they do not believe in organized religion, that religion must not be organized, that your relationship with God must not be supervised by another person, or must not be, you know, communal. Do you see what I'm saying? But they obviously haven't read this verse, which says assembling of ourselves together is important. Assembling of ourselves together. So there is the place for having time on your own with the Lord. And then there is also a place for assembling together. That means pulling people together, bringing people from different places to come together, to fellowship together, to interact with each other. Hallelujah. And I believe that one of the reasons for that is to offset the negative interaction, the effects of that negative interaction we are forced to endure seven times a week. Amen. For many, many hours, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, some people working overtime, you know, and hearing curse words all day. I mean, how can you hear these words all the time? I mean, these are not, a curse word is not a verse. Hallelujah. If you were hearing Bible verses as often as you're hearing curse words, I tell you, you'll be a bishop by now. You will be so spiritually advanced that you will just be a pastor, at least a pastor. Hallelujah. So do not underestimate the effect of a negative environment on you. Can I have an amen? And you must assemble, as much as you have to spend time with unbelievers, you must be intentional about spending time with believers. When the believers assemble, just assemble together, come together. Hallelujah. Come together, come together, come together. Amen. And that will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you to interact with believers a lot. Say amen. All right. Number five. Quickly, please. Number five. My thing is gone. Okay, here it is. All right. Number five. Or number four, camp meetings allow many hours of prayer to take place. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They allow many hours of prayer to take place. Number five, camp meetings encourage oneness and unity so that the whole church has one heart and one soul. Amen. It encourages oneness and unity, you know. Acts 4 and 32, the Bible says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Amen. Oneness is important. Hallelujah. It's important for a church to grow. We need to be united. We need to be one. For a church to be strong, we need to be united. We need to be one. The devil understands that when we are divided, we are weak. Amen. And that is why the devil always tries to divide churches. Always the devil is dividing churches. Dividing churches, splitting churches, making them smaller and smaller and smaller. Just about when the church is matured and strong enough to do something, because you see, when you are small, you are limited in many ways. Do you understand? And it takes a long time to grow. Do you see? So when you have become mature and just about when you can be useful, then the devil starts to introduce things into the church that divide the church, and then you have to shift your focus from what a church is supposed to be doing to trying to keep the church together. Hallelujah. So that is a very important benefit of camp meetings, which is that it unites the church and makes us of one heart and one soul. Amen. Then there are other spiritual benefits like, number six, camp meetings give room for prophecies, isn't it? Then number seven, camp meetings give room for manifestation of spiritual gifts, isn't it? Then number eight, it counteracts the devil's work of division, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then number nine, it fights separation and isolation that comes from pride and sensuality. Hallelujah. Right? Jude verse 19, that's a very powerful verse. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Hallelujah. These are people who separate themselves And the Bible says they do not have the Spirit. Separatists do not have the Spirit, isn't it? They do not have what? The Spirit. Even though they may claim that they are separating because of the Spirit. That the Spirit is leading them to separate. The Spirit actually is the one thing they do not have. Are you getting it? The Spirit is, says, these be they who separate themselves. Sensual, that means just sensitive to the flesh. And you see, a lot of separatists usually are operating in the flesh. They are responding to hurts. They are responding to bitterness. They are responding to unhappiness, anger, unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is one of the main reasons why people separate. Do you get it? It's like you cannot forgive. You cannot be reconciled with one another. For reconciliation to take place, somebody has to forgive. Somebody has to say it doesn't matter. Somebody has to allow the other to reconnect. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to allow, you know, you have to allow something. You have to create a gap in you that allows the person to connect in spite of what whatever they did. Hallelujah. And so you can see that when people cannot afford forgiveness and people cannot afford to or do not want to forgive and do not want to reconcile, then it leads to separation. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it is a work of the flesh and it is not a spiritual thing to do. Say amen. Amen. Then number 10 is camp meetings are gatherings which prevent the scattering of the sheep and deprive the devil of meat. Isn't it? Ezekiel 34 and verse 5. Ezekiel 34 and verse 5. It says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Hallelujah. So scattering is at a cost to those who are scattered, isn't it? They become meat to all the beasts of the field when they are scattered. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Amen. All right. So that's a little summary of what I shared with you about camp meetings. Amen. Now let me add this little bit, which is the other reason why people do not attend camp meetings. Okay. No, the title of my message is not the other reason why. Hallelujah. I'm just adding something which is the other reason why people do not attend camp meetings. Hallelujah. That other reason is that people do not readily embrace new things. You see, people do not readily embrace new things. A lot of people like to stick with what they know. A lot of people find it very difficult to break out of what they're used to, to try something new, to go to a new place, to do even something, an old thing, even in a new way. Do you understand? Yeah, a lot of people are stuck in what they know. And it is very difficult to move people into new things. Even to get people to try new foods, to get people to go to a new place, you know. And it's a natural thing. Do you understand? Because when you are in a place or when you've stayed in a place or you've been used to something, you become comfortable with it. You become comfortable with it even if the thing is not so great. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, even if it's not so great. What you value is your comfort. It's the fact that you are used to the not so greatness. Hallelujah. You're used to whatever it is. And so we tend to have an aversion for new things. But if you're going to walk successfully with God, you have to be open to new things. Amen. You have to do yourself a favor to open yourself up, you know, to new things. Learn to be open to new things. It may take some time, but accept it first of all. Even accept that you are like that, that you don't like new things, that you are disturbed by new things, that your initial immediate reaction to a new idea is, hey, yeah, are you sure? Yeah, what is this we are doing? Is it going to work? It's natural to some extent. Do you understand? Some people are born with an adventurous spirit. They actually get bored with old things. Do you see what I'm saying? There are some people like that. But there are a lot of people, I think more people in the second category than in the first category. You see, who do not like adventure? Yeah, they do not like adventure. Why are we going to try? The other day, I heard that somebody was going to jump off the plane. Yeah, somebody, I think it was the older Bush president. The older President Bush. Yeah, I think it was his 90th birthday or 80-something birthday. And he was going to jump off a plane, you know, for a birthday celebration. What a way to celebrate a birthday. He's obviously not from Africa. You don't even have to know him. You just have to know what he's going to do. And you know that he doesn't come from a certain place. Hallelujah. But I believe that our lives are severely stunted and severely hindered, do you see, and limited by this very element, that we are often not open to trying new things, to doing new things, to going to new places, and that affects us. Amen. That affects us. That affects us. You have to get used to the idea that usually what you are used to, you know, has exhausted what it will give you. Wow. Do you understand? Or even if it hasn't exhausted it, as in it's not going to give it again, you see, it's not giving you anything new. Do you understand? The new steps and new elements of progress in people's lives often depends on something new they do rather than something old they continue to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which means then that as we get adventurous and do new things, we are more likely to make progress and introduce new things into our lives in addition to the old things we already have. Do you understand? Because you don't lose the old things. The old things, you already have them. You all will always have them. But the new things add spice to your life. You see, the new things open up your life. They bring progress. They help you advance. They help you get to new things. They add to your life and bring improvements to your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if you're going to walk successfully with God, you have to learn to be open to new things. Embrace new ideas. Hallelujah. Warm up to doing something you haven't done before. Amen. Warm up to doing something that you haven't done before. Every few months or weeks, you must do something new that you haven't done before. Yeah. Sometimes people are bored just because you're not doing anything new. Yeah. There is a tension that comes with doing something new, which is a healthy tension. Do you understand? Yeah. And your life needs that tension even to grow. Do you understand? That tension sort of pulls new things out of you. It forces you to reach out in new ways. It makes you sometimes relate with new people. it sort of opens your mind. You are forced to contend with new things that you are not used to them. I mean, but you have to deal with them. You have to accept them. You have to embrace them. And you have to sort of adjust to them. That is the process that grows you. Wow. Hallelujah. The adjustment to something new is the process that grows you. Hallelujah. That is what makes you grow, that you're doing something that you haven't done before. Even the fear you feel when you're doing something new. Do you understand? And the constant wondering of whether it is going to work or not. And even the preparation for what if it doesn't work. Do you understand? And the engagement of your brains to sort of try to find a plan B in case a plan A doesn't work. Do you understand? That is exactly what growth is about. Pulling new things out of you. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so people who do not embrace such opportunities tend to be stuck. You tend to be stuck. You are limited. And with time, you're going to get very bored. Do you understand? With time, you're going to get very bored. Even you start to age quickly. Yeah, because adventure is associated with youthfulness. Yeah. So you see, sometimes people, when people don't want to be adventurous, they say that, look, I'm not young anymore. Do you understand? Because when you are young, you are growing all the time. You are discovering new things all the time. You're going to new places. You're seeing new things. And you will begin to enjoy life more. You're going to discover more possibilities. You're going to know that many more things are possible in many ways if you become open to new ideas and new things. Say amen. Amen. So, 5 examples of new things that God does. Hallelujah. Number 1, God embarks on new projects, new schemes, new ideas, new plans. New projects, new schemes, new ideas, new plans. I'm sharing with you from the Art of Leadership. Chapter 22. So if you have your book, you can just open to chapter 22 and just read it with me. Amen. Hallelujah. God embarks on new projects, new schemes, new ideas, new plans. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Did you see that? Behold, I will do a new thing. Have you heard the verse before that says, be ye imitators of God as dear children? Isn't it? It says, be imitators of God. So, if not for anything, even if you don't like it, you don't like adventure, but you are trying to be a child of God. You're trying to be an imitator of God. There must be at least a season in your life where you also can say, behold, I do a new thing. What do you think? Yeah. Ask your neighbor, when is the last time you declared, behold, I will do a new thing? I will do a new thing. I will cook a new dish. You see, one of the reasons why even you don't cook anymore is because even you are tired of your own food. Do you see what I'm saying? You are either tired of the taste or you are tired of the process of making it. It's so predictable that it's not exciting for you to do it anymore. What do you think? Yeah. So you are not excited at the prospects. You are not expecting anything new. You are not anxious about failing, the possibility of failing. Now, what if it doesn't work? Do you understand that you're trying to cook a new thing? What if it doesn't work? Do you see? You saw it in the recipe book, or you saw it being cooked on television. You see, when they are cooking things on television, they don't show us the whole process. They don't show us the fails. They don't show us the parts that didn't work. So the camera, you see how the camera goes from when it enters the oven to when it's already come out of the oven. Do you understand? But the camera doesn't show us when the thing was supposed to rise and it actually fell. It doesn't show us all those things. But those are the elements of adventure that actually sustain your interest and that yields the sense of fulfillment that you get when the new thing actually works. Can I have an amen? Amen. According to this verse, if God was a lady, he would have a new hairstyle every month. What do you think? He would announce, "Behold, I do a new thing." It means when you see him, you may easily not recognize him. Because he's doing something new. Hallelujah. Look, free up your spirit. Do something new. It is healthy to do something new. Go to a new place. I mean, a lot of people have lived here for so long, they don't know any place other than their little neighborhood. And they go to school in the neighborhood, and they shop at Ralph's in the neighborhood, and they go to the neighborhood Target, and the neighborhood what? Walmart. Yeah. And they have no interest in exploring anything new at all. But perhaps if you were to go to a new shop, you might actually find out things are even better priced in that place. You might actually find out it's a lot easier to shop from that place. You might find something new in the place. What do you think? Even sometimes it helps to go home by a different route. Yeah. To go home by a different route. Go home by a different route. Because you see, one of the things I even noticed about myself is when someone else is driving, I start to see things that I didn't see were on the same road. Do you understand? And the revelation I got from that is that you never know how sucked in you are into what you're doing, including even driving safely home, that you are actually missing out on a whole lot of things around you, but you don't even know it. You see, you think you know the route to your house, but you think you've memorized it, which is often true, but a lot goes into keeping the car going straight and driving safely and so on. And you probably don't even realize what you're missing all this time. And I notice those things when someone else is driving and I'm sitting in the car. I start to see a whole lot of things. That all these things were here, but I've been going up and down this road and I never saw them. We're missing out on a lot. And life makes it like that. Even the routine of going to work every day. Get up, storm up. You get up, you know, just early enough not to be late to work. And then you rush out of the house and go down the same road to work. See, that routine itself denies you of the opportunity to explore new things. And that is why when you have the opportunity, you must take it. Hallelujah. You must take it. I mean, we live in Los Angeles. Recently, when I was in Ghana, I was speaking to someone, and then the person asked me, "Where in the States do you live?" Then I said, "I live in LA." She said, "What? My kids will love you." She said, they will just love you just because you live in LA. But that's not how I feel about LA. I told you the other day, I was on a plane with some family. They were flying to LA from Mississippi. And they were, I mean, they couldn't even wait. Even the lady was just asking me a lot of questions. She felt like her LA experience began with sitting next to me. Just sitting next to me, her vacation had begun. Do you see? There are people who are excited about LA. So then as we were landing, I was looking at LA and the way the place was crowded. And I was just looking here. I was just wondering, what am I missing? Because these people are coming from Mississippi and they are looking forward to it. They are excited. And I live here. I live in their vacation. Do you understand? Wow. See, when we were kids, we would go to these, when our kids were younger, we would go to these fun places. You know, I always used to wonder how it would feel for the people who work here. I mean, they live in our dream. Do you understand? The child comes there, he doesn't want to go home, but that's somebody's job. He comes there every day. He gets to ride these trains. You know, his job is to drive it. You are just riding it and you are so happy. His job is to drive it for free and get paid for it. And you are paying to just ride on it. Do you understand? But I believe that there is a lot we can discover just by being open to new things. You know, we must break out of the mood of being insensitive to our environment and not seeing the new things that can enrich our lives, that can make things so different for you, even in the same place. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You must break out of that mode. You must be intentional. You be a child of God and declare, behold, I do a new thing. Tell your neighbor, look, behold, I do a new thing. Yeah. You have to do something new. For what reason? Just for its sake. Just so you can be a child of God. So you can be like God. So you can copy God. So you can be like God. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can you imagine the amount of stress that's going to come on you as you try to make rivers in a desert? Can you see that? Can you see why growth comes out of that? Because the day you set yourself to make rivers in a desert, do you know what a desert is? A desert is a dry place where there is no river. Do you understand? So whereas we would often have stopped at river in a desert. No, a desert is not supposed to have rivers. There's no river here. So we just accept it as it is and we move on. This place is a desert. Oh, you have to understand that as for deserts, they don't go with rivers. Yeah. But then God says, no, I'm going to make a river in this desert. It's a desert, but I'm going to make a river in this place. By the time your river is made, can you imagine the things you would have learned? Do you understand? Yes. There are some people who only have rivers if there's one naturally there. But there are some people who have rivers because they create it. They make the river happen in the place. And I'm saying that the process of creating something that does not exist is what grows you. That's what stretches your imagination. That is what activates your ability to create. That's what makes you think in high gear. That's what makes you rationalize in ways that you've never even thought of yourself able to rationalize. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That we can do it. Let's try it. We can do it. Let's try it. We can do it. Let's try it. We have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. Let's try it. Because when you try it and it doesn't work, you still have what you had before. Isn't it? Yeah. If you try it and it doesn't work, you still have what you had before. But if you try it and it works, you have one more. Do you understand? You have gained one more. Amen. We have to recognize the lack of adventure in us. Amen. We have to recognize it as an enemy. We have to recognize the fear and the apprehension that we have that makes us turn away from new things, new opportunities, trying new things, meeting new people, going to new places, especially going to new places. Especially going to new places. When you go to new places, you learn new things. You see new things. You find people sometimes cooking in new ways. Do you understand? You eat new foods, you know, that make you happy. That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, we had this pastor's meeting in Puerto Rico the other day. And I mean, the joy. You see that people are happy. And the happiness is coming from going to a new place and especially eating things that we haven't eaten before. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding my message this morning? Behold, I will do a new thing. There is freshness in new things. Don't you see how you even feel when you just buy some new clothes? You can't even wait to wear them. Yeah, and when you wear them, even your walking changes. You get it? Yeah. And you're wondering if people can see on you what you can see and feel. You get it? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they can't see anything. What matters is the mental health. Do you understand? The mental rejuvenation that is taking place. You feel good about yourself. You feel healthy about yourself. You no longer feel like you're being left out, that you are dying. Have you had that feeling before where you feel like you are wearing out? You're dying. You're finishing. Same old clothes. Same style. Topped with same food. Hallelujah. God is introducing us to new things. Can I have an amen? That's one of the reasons why we're having the camp in Memphis. Just to be in a new place. That's all. We've had camps in which places? Well, Chicago, New Jersey, Maryland, Philadelphia. Yeah. Atlanta. Yeah. Huh? Ohio. Yeah. Small one in Ohio. Yeah. But these are the places where we have our camps. Yeah. When we say camp, you think Chicago. Maryland. Because that's where we have camps. What about Memphis? Why not Memphis? And one day we're going to have a camp here in California. Yes. A lot of people have never been to California. A lot of people on the East Coast have never been to California. The other day I was driving somewhere in California and I was just thinking, you know, if anybody assumes that they know America, not having been to California, they're making a big mistake. Yeah, because this place actually feels like a different country. Yeah. I mean, it really does feel like a different country. The landscape, the vegetation, you know, the language, the people, you know. Even recently, it occurred to me that, you know, I don't see that many people wearing suits in this place. Yeah. And when you see them wearing shoes, they are not wearing like a white shirt or something. They are wearing some shirt that should not be going with the suit, but it's being forced to go with the suit. You know? Yeah, it's just an arrangement of a shirt and a tie and a jacket. So the elements are there and they don't have to match. Yes. Yes. And then you see also career-wise, you start to see that you begin to meet people who do unconventional things for a living. Yeah. I mean, it's quite surprising and it's actually refreshing to meet people and to find out what they do. I mean, on top of that, if you play golf, it even takes it to another level, because you start to meet people and you'll be surprised what they do for a living. Yeah. The other day I met someone whose job, he has actually moved from England to this place, and his job, he's a sports psychologist. Yeah. I was asking him, so what do you do? So yeah, I work with sportsmen, you know. So are you a coach? He said, no, I'm not a coach. I just work on the mind of a sportsman. Yeah, that's different from the one who coaches him on how the best way to run, to win, and or to play basketball. No, that's not his job. His job is he takes your mind and he massages it. And he makes you think like you have to think in order to win. Yeah. What a job! Yeah. But you have to travel here to meet such people. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? So, there are a lot of new things in the world. And there are a lot of things that are yet to be discovered. If you think the world is saturated with knowledge, you're kidding yourself. See, my father passed about 20 years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago, my father passed. And I'm sure at the time my father was passing, the feeling must have been that the world is advanced. In those days, there was no internet. No Facebook. There was no WhatsApp. You know, I mean, the day I die, when if I meet my father in heaven and we're talking, I'm explaining that, you know, we used to do Facebook. He'd be asking, I mean, what's Facebook? Yeah. There was no texting. There's nothing like texting. Yeah, and even so, and the few cell phones that existed, they were like a cement block. Yeah? They were like a cement block. I mean, you had to hold them in your hand. It wouldn't fit in your pocket. You have to hold them in your hand like that. And cordless phones were also just about happening. I remember somebody bought me a birthday present when I first moved here. This is about 20 years ago. Person bought me a special present. When I opened it, it was a cordless phone, you know. And I've never forgotten that person because of that, because he gave me my first cordless phone. I mean, not cell phone, for the home. Yeah. Yeah. And it was big. Yeah. You see, we would have thought that was, the world was developed at that time. But look at so many things that have come out of the world. Amen. Amen. People like us are naturally non-adventurous. Especially those of us who come from Africa. We don't like adventure. We don't discover new things. We don't try new things. That's why people came to discover. Some people came, they were going on a vacation. And then when they found it, they said, we have discovered you. How do you know you discovered me? I existed. And the thing is, but you didn't find me. I found you. Do you understand? Yeah. So when you add that to living in a place, when you add that to living in a place which is designed to be self-sufficient, because in this society, wherever you live, there's a school for you in the neighborhood. There's a shop for you in the neighborhood. there's a hospital for you in the neighborhood. You don't have to go to any place to do anything. So when you combine that with your natural aversion for making new discoveries, then you are totally doomed. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have to be intentional. You have to go out of your way intentionally to discover something new. You have to say that I know there are restaurants in my neighborhood, but I'm going all the way across town to go eat something there. That's the only way you're going to find something new in such a place. I know I can shop here, but today I'm going to shop over here. Why not? Instead of doing this grocery in the same neighborhood, why don't you go over, just drive over to the other side and go do your shopping there? Same thing you're doing, but you're doing it in a different place. Do you understand? With fresh people, new people, even the teller, even if she has an attitude, it will be new. You see what I'm saying? It won't be like the same old one you are dealing with. Do you understand? Yeah, the same old one. She already knows you. She knows how you can pick 20 things and buy two. So she's tired of you. But there's somebody who's not used to your attitude and your behavior. And even if they are giving you an attitude, it will be a new experience for you. Say, hey, I haven't seen this type before. You say, this person is so rude, I haven't seen it before. And it's refreshing to encounter a new type of rudeness. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, to take the opportunity of a camp in Memphis to do something new. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? To go to a new place, visit a new place, eat some new food, something you haven't eaten before, eat with some people in a new way. Just do something that is different and it will refresh you. It will strengthen you. And you will feel a lot better about yourself. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Behold, I do a new thing. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will even make a way. That means what you thought was even impossible, I'm going to make it possible. Amen. I'm going to make it possible. What you thought was even impossible. You know, and that is the foundation of creativity. To eliminate impossibility from your language. Stop saying it's impossible. Just because you haven't. Often when you say it's impossible, you mean you haven't seen it being done before. But who are you? Do you know everything? The fact that you haven't seen it before doesn't mean it can never be done. And you must be open to try it. You must be open to try it. You must be open to try it. Hallelujah. We belong to a church where our leader is not afraid of trying new things. And that is what has made us the kind of church that we are. And it's a grace upon the church. Hallelujah. I said it's a grace upon the church, doing new things, trying new things. You know, who would have thought that Bishop would leave the Kodesh to go and start the church, the First Love Church? Do you understand? Who does that? Who starts a church and just as the church becomes very successful, then they go and start another denomination? Do you understand? With little children. It's like one day you come to church and I'm no longer pastoring here. I want to be teaching Ava and Vera. Those are my members now. Maybe I should try that too. Yeah. I'll do a new thing. Yeah? When I come to church, during praise and worship, after that I take the kids, then I go out with them, and then I teach them. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you see, they are waving. Come on. See, they are feeling it already. Amen. Do you understand? All that Bishop Saki would leave the Kodesh, And you should go to his church. I mean, you just, even when you get there, you start to feel excited. It's just fresh. Yeah. It's just fresh. It's not as posh as the Kodesh. His office is in a trailer. You know, he has a trailer. That's where his office is. He has two or three containers, and the containers are his children's ministry. Air-conditioned containers. Yeah. Yeah. I will make rivers in a desert. Rivers in a desert. That's a child of God. Amen. Yeah. And you should see it. When you get there and look at the environment and, you know, the innovation in the place, it's just refreshing. It's just refreshing. Hallelujah. Don't allow doing the same old thing in the same old way to wear you out. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't allow going to the same old place by the same old route to wear you out. Eating the same old things to wear you out. Soon you even be bored and tired of eating. Yeah, eating is exciting when the thing is new and fresh and tasty, you know, and then you just be eating. That's why a lot of people eat well when somebody else cooks the food. Is it not true? Amen. Please, I want you to receive this message today. Amen. Do yourself a favor. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself even mentally healthy. Do you understand? By always doing something new, something refreshing. Amen. Always have something new you are doing. It will pull out things from you. You know, having a camp in Memphis has been one of the most stressful things for me. I tell you, you can ask Elpak. You know, it's been one of the most challenging things for me because I was wondering, is it going to work? Is it going to work? Is it? And I tell you, is it going to work? That's where you want to be. That's the place of growth. Yeah. I tell you that the tension, the sleepless nights, wondering, asking so many questions. Who gets answers without asking questions? Answers are for questions. When you ask questions, you get. The Bible says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So there are things to be opened, though. There are things to be opened. There are things to be opened. But it is your pursuit of new things that makes you knock on those doors. And then those things start to open up to you. Are you following what I'm saying? If you're not looking for something new, you will be surprised that, because we haven't had this type of camp before where find your own place. Everybody find their own place. You get it? Or that we're going to have a camp in somebody's church. It's just fantastic. Yeah. So I just really want to encourage you to receive today's message and do yourself that favor. Do something new. Amen. Can you think of something new, an area you can try something new? Can you try something new? Yeah. Try something new. Amen. And God is going to bless you. Close your eyes and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for a day like this where you can teach us and instruct us to explore new things, to try new things, go to new places, do something where you have never done before. And thank you for the promise of growth, the promise of freshness, newness, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray. Lift up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to baptize me with the grace for adventure, for trying something new. Deliver me from my fears and from the apprehension and the aversion to new things. and help me, oh God, to discover, to be willing to try something new. To try something new.
To try something new.
To try something new. Makaboro moshama la mama la baba la baba la baba la mashandaria la baba. Amolo seke fala mama la mashaka fata la baba. Oh yes, Lord, mashaka fana mala bala mashata la baba. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Waiting on you. Waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. Oh, I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength. Sing it again. Waiting on you. Waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I see. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the upcoming camp. Thank you for the blessedness of next week. Thank you for the grace that is upon this gathering. And thank you that every demon and every devil assigned to hold people back is defeated in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we will be imitators of God as dear children. That one of the things we will commonly be known for is for our declaration, behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.